Furthermore, said Green, there was nothing in the Kansas statutes indicating that the physicians chosen to determine a defendant's mental condition must be of any particular qualification. Just plain doctors. Medical doctors in general practice. That's all the law requires. We have sanity hearings in this county every year for the purpose of committing people to the institution. We never call anybody in from learned or psychiatric institutions of any kind. Our own local physicians attend to the matter. It's no great job to find whether a man is insane or an idiot or an imbecile. It is entirely unnecessary, a waste of time to send the defendants to Larned. In rebuttal, Counsel Smith suggested that the present situation was far graver than a simple sanity hearing in probate court. Two lives are at stake. Whatever their crime, these men are entitled to examination by persons of training and experience. Psychiatry, he added, pleading with the judge quite directly, has matured rapidly in the past 20 years. The federal courts are beginning to keep in tune with this science as related to people charged with criminal offenses. It just seems to me we have a golden opportunity to face up to the new concepts in this field. It was an opportunity the judge preferred to reject, for as a fellow jurist once remarked, Tate is what you might call a law book lawyer. He never experiments. He goes strictly by the text. But the same critic also said of him, if I were innocent, he's the first man I'd want on the bench. If I was guilty, the last. Judge Tate did not entirely deny the motion. Rather, he did exactly all the law demanded by appointing a commission of 3 Garden City doctors and directing them to pronounce a verdict upon the mental capacities of the prisoners. In due course, the medical trio met the accused and, after an hour or so of conversational prying, announced that neither man suffered from any mental disorder. When told of their diagnosis, Perry Smith said, "How would they know? They just wanted to be entertained. Hear all the morbid details from the killer's own terrible lips. Oh, their eyes were shining." Hickok's attorney was also angry. Once more, he traveled to Larned State Hospital, where he appealed for the unpaid services of a psychiatrist willing to go to Garden City and interview the defendants. The one man who volunteered, Dr. W. Mitchell Jones, was exceptionally competent. Not yet 30, a sophisticated specialist in criminal psychology and the criminally insane who had worked and studied in Europe and the United States, he agreed to examine Smith and Hickok and, should his findings warrant it, testify in their behalf. On the morning of March 14th, counsels for the defense again stood before Judge Tate, there on this occasion to plead for a postponement of the trial, which was then 8 days distant. 2 reasons were given. The first was that a most material witness, Hickok's father, was at present too ill to testify. The second was a subtler matter. During the past week, a boldly lettered notice had begun to appear in the town's shop windows, and in banks, restaurants, and at the railroad station. And it read, H.W. Clutter Estate Auction Sale, 21 March 1960, at the Clutter Homestead. Now, said Harrison Smith, addressing the bench, I realize it is almost impossible to prove prejudice. But this sale, an auction of the victim's estate, occurs 1 week from today. In other words, the very day before the trial begins. Whether that's prejudicial to the defendants, I'm not able to state. But these signs, coupled with newspaper advertisements and advertisements on the radio, will be a constant reminder to every citizen in the community, among whom 150 have been called as prospective jurors. Judge Tate was not impressed. He denied the motion without comment.